I had no idea that four songs and the Lord's Supper and one prayer would ever go by so fast. Just never grabbed me. Good morning. This is awesome. This is awesome. I'd like to thank the elders and the deacons, Brother Ward, for asking me to preach. I really don't know if they had much of a hand in it. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. I want to thank everyone for coming to hear me. The word that I prepared, the gospel, to share with you. There's a lot of people here that's made a major impact on my life. Major. Now through these words, I'd like to make an impact on yours. The sermon I prepared is not of my doing, but of the Lord's. You see, when a carpenter builds a house, you don't praise the hammer. You don't praise the saw. You praise the carpenter. I'm just a tool in the carpenter's hands. The Lord has molded and built onto me and still is. Through this very sermon, He has helped me to build up. Being a Christian is an ongoing process, constantly changing and trying to be more Christ-like every day. Brother Ward called me a couple weeks ago and left a message on my answering machine and asked me to give him a call. First thing, I said, oh, no. I didn't know what I'd do. And I called him back. He allowed me, him and Ms. Hoagland was going to go out of town and asked me, could I preach on the 28th? I said, Ward, this is Jerry Trimble. He chuckled a little bit. Said he knew who he was talking to. Said that he thought I preached a pretty good mini sermon on Wednesday night a couple months ago that I could do this. He thought I did a good job. So I told him that I'd pray about it and get back with him. I had a good idea that I would do it. But I try to pray and try to talk to the Lord and get him to guide me. Brother Ward wasn't aware of it, nor was my mom and my dad. None of my kids was aware of it. But 6 years ago today, I walked down this aisle, asked the congregation to pray for me, asked the Lord to forgive me. So see, this was the Lord's doing. The Lord put this on me. Now thank y'all for sharing it with me. The devil has hit me hard a couple times the last couple years. But I keep getting back up. I'm so thankful that the sinful life that he brought me out of and set my feet on firm ground. That brought me here today to speak a few words to y'all. As sermons go, I hadn't had a chance to pick out too many sermons. Being a man and having my grandson sit beside me and them share their Bible stories with me and me share mine with them, it come to me, battles. All little kids, all men like battle. When you go to the movies, what do you rent? You rent the battle movies, the war movies. My sermon is entitled Battles. I want to share with you a few battles of the Old Testament. The first battle we'll look at is the Battle of Jericho. The plans for the Battle of Jericho start in chapter 2 of Joshua. God's chosen people, the Israelites, were going into the Promised Land, and the country needed to be purged of God's enemies. God has Joshua send out spies to scout the land to gather information for the upcoming battle. The two spies entered into the city of Jericho. They entered into the house of a prostitute. The king of Jericho got word of the spies being in the city and sent soldiers to her house. She told the soldiers that the men had been there, but she didn't know where they were. They left. She didn't know who they were. They had left. She said before the city got shut up at night that they had left. Hurry after them, she said. Maybe you can catch up with them. A lot of the cities of the Old Testament and of the Old World were built like fortresses, built like castles. The whole city was within great, wide, high walls. At night, the cities would be shut up. Or in fear of attack, they'd be shut up. Jericho is one of these cities, on a bit of a hill in the plains of the Jordan Valley. The Lord gave Joshua battle plans for the fall of Jericho. 7 priests were to march around the city carrying trumpets of ram's horns, followed by the ark of the Lord, with armed guards fore and aft. Joshua told the people, "Be very silent. Don't speak a word, not a peep." All marched around the city once a day for 6 days. Can you imagine these people on these high walls in a fortress, a castle, and there's people marching around them blowing horns? It's not much of a battle plan. For the first couple of days, I would think they're probably scared, you know, what's going on here? But they weren't trying to knock down the walls of the city. They weren't trying to knock down the doors. They were simply marching around the city blowing ram's horn. On the 7th day, they marched around the city 7 times. On the last trip around the city, Joshua told the people, when he told the people, when the high priest blew the trumpets, to shout. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. When they did, the city walls folded. They crumbled like blocks, like a child's blocks. As per God's instruction, all living things, men and women, young and old, were to be killed. All living things, cattle, sheep, donkeys, killed. Well, there was the harlot, Rahab. She had made a pact with the spies that she had hidden and sent the king's soldiers on a wild goose chase. The whole time she had hidden them in her attic. The agreement was that when they came and took the city, that her father and mother and brothers and all that belonged to her would be spared. And they were. The silver, the gold, the articles of bronze, and the iron would be put into the Lord's treasury. Then the city was burned, lock, stock, and barrel. The second story tells of a warrior from Judges, the 13th, 14th, and 15th chapter. The story of a man I believe to be the strongest man to ever walk on God's earth. Samson. Now, me and some of my Bible class students had talked about Samson before. And some of them supposed that he was a great, huge man with bulging arms and a bulging chest. He might have been the scrawniest man in the whole camp. But he had the power of God. He was strong. Samson was chosen of God even before his birth to serve. But Samson, just like many of us today, he wanted to do things his way. Samson longed for a woman of the Philistines and begged his parents to get her for him. His parents were against this because of against God's will. But God had his hands in this also. He had a reason for them to be together. As Samson was going to see her one time, a lion attacked him. Verse 6 of Judges 14 says that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, but told no one. After a while, on another trip to see his girlfriend, he came upon the lion's carcass, and bees had set up in the carcass. Samson got some of the honey and ate it, and as he went on his way, he came across his mother and his father, and he gave them some. Now, Samson had made a feast, as was tradition, for 30 of Samson's champions, companions. Samson gave them a riddle and made a wager with them. If they could answer the riddle by the time the feast was over, he would give them 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. If they couldn't answer the riddle, they would give him 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. The riddle goes like this. Out of the eater came forth meat. Out of the strong came forth sweetness. After the first 3 days, the companions of Samson couldn't answer the riddle. So they threatened his woman. He threatened to burn his house. They were going to kill her father and burn her. So she cried on Samson and wailed on Samson and nagged on Samson. "You haven't even told me the answer. You have given my people a riddle, and you haven't even told me the answer." Samson said, "I haven't even told my father and my mother." But she continued in her harping and her nagging and her crying. He told her the riddle. He told her the answer to the riddle on the seventh day. She in turn told her people, and her people answered the riddle on the seventh day of the feast. It says in verse 19, when they answered the riddle, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, and he went into another city and killed 30 Philistines and took their garments and paid off the debt. When Samson returned home, her father had given her to a friend of his. Samson was mad this time. He was so mad that his father-in-law's actions, he went out and he caught 300 foxes. He tied them by twos, tail to tail, and set fire to their tail, and ran them through the crops of the Philistines. Now that's awesome. That's awesome. He burnt their crops down with 300 foxes. Can you imagine the sight? 150 pairs of foxes with their tails on fire set loose in the cornfields and the vineyards and the olive groves. Everything was destroyed. The Philistines in turn burned up Samson's wife and her father. The killing's not over yet. Samson killed those people. And afterwards he went to live upon a rock, upon a hill, I would imagine. After this, the Philistines came after Samson. But the men of Judea asked the Philistines, "Why have you come up against us?" And they said they'd come after Samson. 3,000 men of Judah came to the top of the rock where Samson was and told him what was going on. They said they were going to bind him and turn him over to the Philistines. Samson agreed, but made them swear that they wasn't going to hurt them themselves. "If you'll do me no harm, you can bind me and turn me over to the Philistines." When they drew close to the Philistines shouted a war cry against Samson. Big mistake. Major, major mistake. The Spirit of the Lord, in verse 14, says the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson. Now, I'm not the smartest man around, but it seems like when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, the Philistines were in trouble. He killed 1,000 men. The ropes became as ash, and he snapped them. He picked up the jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000 of God's enemies, the Philistines. Now these people knew of Samson, and whereas the Bible doesn't say that they had any, you would think if they came after Samson, they would come with spears, swords, shields. And he took the jawbone of an ass, the new jawbone of an ass, and killed 1,000 men. I figured it had to be a new jawbone because the old jawbone wouldn't have never took all that beating. There's one other story of Samson. There's many other stories of Samson. But we're going to go on to our next story. In the time of the kings, there was a dispute over a border town known as Shochah, a town that bordered Judah and Philistia. Verse 1 of 1 Samuel 17 says that the town belonged to Judah, but even as by today's standards, the two countries were at odds over the town. One kid thought he could take something else from another kid off the block. So goes the battle of David and Goliath. The Philistines' armies camped on one mountain range, and the Israelites on another mountain range facing each other. The Philistines had a great champion, a giant. His name was Goliath. He was over 9 feet tall. Folks, that's 8 feet. Okay? This was a trained warrior. He wasn't just a giant. He was a trained warrior. A trained killing machine. He had a helmet of brass. Armor of chain mail. A huge spear. Leg protectors of brass. A sword and a shield. His weapons weighed over 150 pounds. For 40 days... morning and evening, the giant would come out of the hills, out of the camp of the Philistines, and challenge the army of the Lord. 1 Samuel 17, 8 through 10 reads, "And he stood and cried unto the armies of the Lord and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to the Saul? Choose you a man, for you let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." The Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Now this went on for 40 days, twice a day. Verse 11 says that the armies of Saul were greatly afraid. While all this was going on, a man named Jesse, who had 8 sons, 3 of his oldest sons being in Saul's army, and the youngest being a sheep herder, just a boy, too young to be in the army. Jesse sends his son to take food to his brothers who were in Saul's army. David, while visiting his brothers, heard the challenge of Goliath. Now David took exception with the challenge and was speaking with some of the men in Saul's army. Who was this Philistine to defy the armies of the living God? The armies of the living God. I like that. That's the same God that gets me up every morning. Same God that I talk to. Every morning before I get out of bed. The same army that puts a path before me each day that I may touch someone's life and show them what a change that God has made in me. Back to David. David's oldest brother heard David and ridiculed him. Accused him of not tending to the sheep and coming to the battle just to see a fight. As to this point, it hadn't been one. King Saul got word of David and his brother's confrontation and sends for David. 1 Samuel 17, 32 goes like this. "And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fall because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with his Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing as he hath defied the armies of the living God." Boy, that makes goosebumps. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. But he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in his scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. And the Philistine came and drew near David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. He was a little boy. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with the staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Now David was already mad. Okay, Philistines opened him up a can. He fixed to get it. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beast of the earth, and all the earth shall know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, and came and drew nigh to David, and David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He didn't wait on him. He ran to him. And David put in his hand his bag, and took hence a stone, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell on the face of the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Therefore David ran, stood upon the Philistine, took out his own sword out of its sheath, and slew him, and cut off his head. And the Philistines saw their champions dead, and they fled. That's awesome. I like it. Standing up for God. Ain't that what it's about? Living for God. Ain't that what it's about? That's good to read. But there's more battles. You can read about these battles and know their outcome ahead of time. What about the battles of today? Those battles are all behind us. What about the battles today? Ahead of us. Yes, the ones that matter the most. What battles? Well, do you ever watch the news? There's parents killing their own children. Mothers killing their unborn babies every day. There's homosexuality. There's child abuse. There's drugs and alcohol. They just keep trying to shove this alcohol down our throat, so to speak. Right here at home, right here in Boone. Right here in Prentice County. What about a little closer? What about a little closer at home? What about divorce? Families torn apart. I don't have the statistics, but you show me the family that hasn't been hurt by divorce. You show me the family that hasn't been torn asunder by divorce, and I'll show you a true rarity. Open marriages. What the heck is open marriage? Shootings right here on the street of Boonville. Battles. Great battles, the battles ahead of us. The devil's not in the bars trying to recruit people. The devil's not in the crack houses trying to recruit people. He's got them. He's right here at West Boonville. He's right here, so we got quite a few people visiting. He's right here in your churches. He's trying to recruit people in church. He's got all them out there. Most Sunday mornings, this is just an example. Most Sunday mornings, we have 100 people. Sunday night, there's 65, maybe 70. And again, on Wednesday night, there's 45, maybe 50, sometimes less. Now, maybe some of us think that the Lord's going to come on Sunday morning. Here, Lord, present and accounted for. Lord's going to come on Sunday. He's going to come on Sunday. The world's going to end on Sunday. Where am I going to be? I'm going to be sitting on the third pew. I'm here, Lord. What if he comes on Sunday night while you're watching a football game? What if he comes on Wednesday when you're golfing? What if he comes on Sunday night while you're deer hunting? What if he comes on Wednesday evening when you're sitting around watching TV? Some of us never read the Bible through the week. Some never invite anyone to church. Some never share the gospel with anyone. Some never pray. Some never visit or call on the sick to see if there's anything they need. Never visit the widows or the shut-ins. Some never take part in a worship service. Christians not serving? I don't understand that. I really don't understand it. We all know, even the most of the children here, know who won the battle of David and Goliath. They know of Samson's great strength. They know the battle of Jericho. But you look at the battle ahead, who's winning this battle? Who's winning the battle for our children and their children? The battle is most important of all. The battle starts with becoming a Christian. The Bible tells us there's 5 steps to becoming a Christian. You must first hear the word. Then you have to believe the word. You must repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of sin. If you're an erring child of God, if you have been brought reproach on the church, then there's the second law of pardon. Just like Samson, just like Simon the sorcerer, confess, repent, and pray for forgiveness. Now, I know this sermon's been sort of short, but Brother Ward assured me that y'all would love me if I just preached a short sermon. That's all I have for you. I appreciate your attendance. There's so many here that's really, like I said before, made an impact on my life. My whole family's there. If you feel like you need to obey the gospel, it's just a few small steps. It's my anniversary today. I don't think I'll eat no cake. But I'm sure going to get on my knees and pray when I get home. If you feel like you need to obey the gospel, come to the front as we stand and sing.